as a leader out there, if you see you have issues in your business, right, you should try to address those black holes right away and fix them. So I addressed that black hole. I said, let's make it a little more welcoming. Onboarding email, gift package, one-on-one with me. I explain to them how it works. I make sure they come to the calls. They get the value. And now they're all consistently coming every single week. I have a bunch of students on every single weekly call. I fixed that problem. Now, a lot of leaders out there, they have a problem. People are quitting, right? They don't got high retention. Okay, well, what's your process for your onboarding? Well, they just come and I just tell them, go train this guy, and they just go over there, you know? What's your process if someone's not doing well? Well, you know, we try to help them and talk to them. What's your actual process, though? We just talk, that's not a process, right? It should be somebody's struggling. They meet with this person. After the next week, they meet with the VP. After the next week, they meet with the CEO. After the next week, they meet with a top performer for a week and they get trained. Like, if you want to make sure nobody leaves your organization, what's your process if somebody's struggling at your organization? No?
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset. Learn and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us. Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome everybody to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here today with Ace Sharafuddin. Ace, brother, what's good, man? How are you?
What's up? What's up, my man? Glad to be here with you. It's a nice background you got there.
Dude, one day this will be my actual real life home, but we're working out of a green screen because me, like a lot of the listeners, are still building up, right? I'm not here. I'm not where I'm going to be in the near future, and a lot of people aren't either. And that's why I had you on, because Ace, guys, is an entrepreneur himself, but he's also a sales and motivational speaker. He's a mentor at Ace's Academy, author of The 10 Keys of Sales, The Formula to Reach Your Top Sales Capabilities. You've got your own podcast, the official Ace's podcast. You're just dropping knowledge, what, every single week, it seemed like, every single day. I mean, you got a ton of content on there.
Yeah, you know, I took Brad Lee's advice on that, and I stopped making content, and I just started documenting the process. And you'll find when you document the process, that's where all your content lies. And I think right now is a very unique time where you see people blowing up on apps like TikTok and stuff. And when you look at the things blowing up the most, besides what the devilish world wants you to see, forget about the bikini and the thongs and all the crazy pranks and all the shit that they try to fill your mind with. But regardless of that stuff, the business stuff that blows up, it's the authentic stuff, you know? And that was a learning curve for me, where I used to plan, like, I'm going to record content at 3 o'clock today to 3:30. I'm going to get in front of the camera. I'm going to talk about this topic because everybody wants to hear about it. And I'm going to put that video out. And I was doing that for a while and it wasn't enjoyable. I felt like, you know, it wasn't me because I was prepped. It shouldn't be prepped. So I started just having a camera follow me around and I started recording my sessions with people when I'm actually impacting. And then when I'm natural, like I've forgotten about the camera and I'm just natural, and like that's where the real juice comes out, and that's where people see the authentic self. So I believe documented journey and don't prepare a document, you know, don't prepare the document. So that's been nice. So that's why the content's coming out every day, because I have like hundreds of videos just ready to launch at any time, because I'm just constantly recording, you know, which is also good to document, because if you ever want to build a business, one of the most important parts is documenting. You know, I go into a lot of businesses that have been in business for 5, 6, 7 years, and somebody new comes on board and they're like, okay, well, go do this with them and go do that with them. It's like, well, where are the folders and the files and the one pagers and the handbook and the plays and, you know, the company guidelines or, you know, company standards. Like, so what I do is I go into your business and I create a playbook for you. And I say, this is how the business is going to operate. And it starts off with, you know, the company standards, the team name, what every person does on every team, who do you reach out to, the plays for sales, the plays for leadership, how to get promoted, right? The culture, the team outings, the awards, the PTO time, everything is in a handbook. So imagine every business handed you this, and it's like your own encyclopedia for that business, and you know everything about them. Now think to yourself, how many businesses are not doing it like this? And that's where it causes all the black holes, you know, where it just sucks a lot of time, where people have to call you and say, how do I do this? And how do I do that? And who do I go to for this? So many black holes in businesses, and we try to go in there and just get rid of all of them.
So if I'm looking to scale, I probably need a playbook so I can replicate my processes, right?
Correct. The reason I have my academy is because I documented my process. I've been selling for 20 years. And every single time I sold something and it worked, I would write it down, say, all right, this worked, this didn't work, this worked. Mm. After 10 years, I had a phone script. And then that phone script turned into, you know, the book. You know, I would have never had this book if I never documented my journey. But I started having this phone script for phone sales that worked very well. And I started training people on it. And I would have it on like a Microsoft Word sheet, and I put pictures in it and tried to make it look nice. And then at the end, you know, one of my friends told me, why don't you put it in a book? He said, it seems like these sales apply to all salespeople for all, everything, you know, communication. I'm like, that's a good idea. So I didn't have to like think about what I'm going to put in the book. I just pulled out my documented process and what worked, and they became 10 chapters, which became the 10 keys, you know? So if it wasn't for me documenting, I wouldn't have this book. I wouldn't have an academy, and I wouldn't be here with you right now, probably. So
no,
I'd say documenting is very important.
And I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm going to introduce you to my buddy Brandon Eastman, Be Better Industries, because he's working on trying to figure out what he believes are the 5 keys for sales. And you've already documented your big 10. You had never done that. You would have never got that introduction. So I want to step back so we can, you know, speed up a little bit. Because a lot of people don't know who you are yet, and it's in the show notes. They're going to follow you on Instagram. They're going to listen to your podcast. They're going to learn more about you. But you tell me, I mean, you didn't roll out of bed with a documented process that you put together in 48 hours. That took a ton of time, I imagine. And you can tell me if I'm wrong. It seems like a lot of the best salespeople aren't just born good at sales. They need to learn some of the skills and techniques. You tell me what you think, but walk me through how you got to who you are today. Was it easy?
No, definitely not easy, man. It took a lot of grit. You know, I come from humble beginnings, very humble beginnings. So when you have that background, which is virtual, that's also good. You're priming your mind. This is a background you want to have. And in a year or two from now, I guarantee you, we'll do another podcast and you'll be in the real house with that background, or a real office with that background, right?
Well, part of why I'm in the spare bedroom, Ace, is because I'm reinvesting in knowledge rather than the material right now, because the knowledge will get me to the material, but go on.
And I started in a laundry room in the basement, looked like a dungeon, right, with my computer. So, I mean, it's humble beginnings. I mean, I came here. My parents didn't really know English, you know, foreign parents, and my dad left everything. He used to run a branch of banks in Dubai, and he left Dubai and came here with me because he wanted to give us, you know, a better life in America. And he had to work at a gas station, night shift, very bad location. So just growing up and watching my dad leave everything he had, come start from scratch here, not knowing English, work a shitty job. My mom works at a factory, you know, making sweets, all dust and powder all day long, coming home, cooking, cleaning. I think that's where it really started for me. You know, it started for me where all my friends at school had Christmases and I never had a Christmas, you know. It started where all my friends were playing sports at school and I would have to quit football because I had to go work at the gas station to help out my pops, you know. And I think that's where I really got the grit as far as my back was against the wall. And look, I'm not taking anything away from people that grow up with a financially savvy household and, you know, that get things, you know, handed to them or that get things, you know, earned to them or however they get things. I'm not taking anything away from those people. But my personal opinion is I'm the man I am today because I was raised watching a hard lifestyle for my family and my back was against the wall. And I think because my back was against the wall, I have these memories driving an ice cream truck, working at Subways in the ghetto, working at the gas station night shift, opening, closing, right? Not really enjoying myself in high school like I really wanted to. And because of all of that, sales happened. How does sales happen? Well, it started at the gas station talking to people, and I found out my shift sells a lot more than other shifts. Why? Because it was my dad's gas station, and I wanted to help him, so I'd be nice to people. You know, that's how it started, right? But then people would come in asking for me at a gas station. I'm like, okay, you know, my dad's like, these customers love you. You know, keep doing what you're doing. And in the Subway, I just took that same traits of just having a smile on and making jokes and making people laugh and, you know, adding on products that they might need from a gas station counter. I took that to the Subway. And I took that same traits at a Subway to the ice cream truck. And the ice cream truck, I made a business card. I was the only ice cream man with a business card. So they'd call me to come and they'd pile up the kids for me. And I had deliveries waiting for ice cream, you know. Then I started selling fireworks out of my ice cream truck in the summer before July 4th. And now I'm making double the money, you know. So that's where the sales happened. Then in high school, my senior year, junior year, you know, I was popular because, you know, I worked hard. I was confident and like I didn't care what anybody thought of me. And I clowned around and stuff and, you know, hung out with, you know, the goose and stuff. And I couldn't really go to the parties. So I said, you know, one way I can make sure I could go to the parties is if I throw the parties. True. What if I was able to make money off the party? Then I could get somebody to work for me at the gas station. I'll throw the party. I'll enjoy the party and I'll make money. And then I started doing parties and I started making, you know, 10, 15,000 as a 17-year-old at a party. I'm like, damn, you know, this is something, right? And when I was throwing those parties, I would have to go to campuses or high schools or people I didn't know and literally hand them flyers and say, hey, we got a great Christmas party coming. Come out there, go up to girls, give them flyers, come out there, come out there, come out there. And I built that confidence through doing that. Now, people might say, well, yeah, it's not that easy to be confident. But again, I'm going to lead you back to my back was against the wall. All I wanted was to have a better lifestyle. All I wanted was to not work these shitty jobs anymore. All I wanted was to retire my parents, right? That was in the back of my mind, and that drove me to forget about self-doubt or being nervous, and that drove me to be confident, right? So flyers and stuff, parties start doing well. After that, got out of the parties because cops started coming, fights started breaking out, just got a little messy, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to lead that lifestyle for long, so went to college, was going to become a lawyer because I felt like I could, there was a lot of people that, I got screwed personally by a detective when I was younger, put me in an office in a room for 8 hours, didn't tell me I had access to a lawyer, got some information out of me that I didn't even do, just drew it out of me because I was a young kid in the room for 8 hours with nobody else in there. And I was really disgusted from that process. So I wanted to become an attorney and fight against people that do those kind of things. And then, you know, when I got to law school, I was opening a business with my brothers at the same time for accessories and novelties. And I couldn't keep up with both. So I didn't finish law school. I grew the business with my brothers. And that was like the next level of sales where I was training salespeople as a distribution company. We used to sell business to business supplies and novelties. And as soon as I trained the sales force, I would start calling people on the phone. And how would I call people? I would literally Google Holiday Inn Corporate, 7-Eleven Corporate. I'd have to call the 1-800 number, get past the gatekeeper, try to get to the right person, send a professional email as a 22-year-old, 21-year-old, you know, using these templates online, fly out to Georgia, fly out to, you know, Maryland, go meet with these corporations. They give me a meeting, go there with a suit and tie, even though I wasn't making money. I had to pretend I was making money, try to get them on board, and really built that business nationwide through doing that. And, you know, that was the biggest sales experience I had. And then after that, we sold the company and went to Rocket, you know, Mortgage, which I was blessed for because that place really changed my life and took me to the next level. There's a lot of money in mortgages, you know, especially as a loan originator or broker. And when I went there, because of all the experience I had, I was automatically catapulted up front in the line as far as production's concerned. I was a top producer, you know, hence all these awards behind me. I was winning awards every single month. And before you know it, I had vision boards in front of me of the house I wanted, the car I wanted, the wife I wanted. I had my goals written down that I wanted to retire my parents. And through this whole process, by the way, I used to read these goals every day. I used to make a gratitude list every day. I used to have backgrounds like you have every day. I used to have vision boards and goals in front of me every day. All this stuff was still happening simultaneously throughout the process. And I tell you that because within my first couple of years there, 2017, 2018, retired my parents, bought them a house, bought me a house, got married, upgraded my house, upgraded my car. So all the things that I dreamed of started happening. And at the mortgage companies that I was working for, I was a top producer and a top leader. And then people started coming up to me that were struggling. I trained them for a couple of weeks and they'd no longer struggle. So that's where this whole thing sparked. And then I started getting phone calls and emails. Hey, I heard you took so-and-so and you made him his first $20,000 check. Could you do that for me? And I say, yeah, you know, come by. I run this training every Monday for people struggling. Come by to it. And I was just doing it voluntary. You know, I wasn't making any money or anything, just helping people to get good karma back. You know, it felt good. And then pretty soon I had 100, 200, 300 people. I didn't have no more room for them. I'm like, all right, we got something here, you know? So I started a sales academy online, weekly coaching sessions. Inside of the sales academy, there's also a leadership academy because I became a great leader in that company and learned how to automate things and really build people up, which is leadership. And then I added a bonus mindset academy as well. And it's all three in one because I believe the mind has to be right first. Then we could focus on the sales. And with sales comes leadership, right? And leadership could apply to your family, your friends, or business, whatever it is. So those are the three pillars of success, I think. Sales and communication, leadership and culture, and mindset is the foundation. So I put it into, I call it a success academy. These three things make you, you know, the top version of yourself. And then there's like bonus habits and planning that go along with that, you know, but that's already engraved in the courses. And then we took that stuff and then we got a call from an insurance company. We're like, huh, you think the same exact stuff applies to insurance? It applies to mortgages? And it did. And then a car sales company called us, a big car dealership. Huh, do you think the same stuff that applies to mortgages on the phone will apply to a car dealership in person? And it did. And same thing with the leadership. You know, do you think the same thing applies for a medical therapy leadership that applies to mortgages? And it did. You know, so we took these things, we've made them into an academy, we consult, we train, we coach weekly. Our last client went from, you know, 86,000 revenue to 480,000 revenue month in, month out, you know, over 7-8x increase just by building these fundamentals of leadership, like running contests, having promotions, celebrating your people, building personal relationships with your people, having ownership, accountability, reporting, making reporting fun. So many different things we do that's been helping. So really, it's starting to kick off, man. And I'll tell you, I've been doing this for, obviously, it's evolved. You know, it started off on a YouTube where I was just doing videos and I started summarizing success books in 10 takeaways in 10 minutes. Then I started the podcast. Then I even did like motivational speeches with inspirational music behind, like so many different things I was doing, and they kept evolving to the next. And I'll tell you, man, I went 3 years not getting views, you know, 100 followers on Instagram, 50 subscribers on YouTube. Like I ate dirt and mud for years. People used to tell me, appreciate your consistency. You know, man, I love that you're consistent, even though, you know, you're not getting likes or follows. And I mean, the truth was my stuff was probably dog shit, you know, like I'm not, you know, an idiot if I posted videos for 3 years and I wasn't getting views. The issue's me. It's not people, you know? But I kept, you know, adapting and I kept evolving and changing the way I did things, which is how I got to documenting the process instead of documenting myself, which is doing a lot better now, you know? I'm not where I want to be still. You know, most of my business comes from referrals. I'm not getting a lot of business, you know, from Instagram and TikTok yet, which is a whole nother avenue of explosion that could happen, right? But I'm growing, you know, steadily, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 followers, 3,000-4,000 subscribers on YouTube. This is the most growth I've had and I'm happy with it, right? And I'm still learning and I still have room for improvement. So the reason why I tell you that is because why did I keep posting every single day? It's hard. You know, sometimes it's hard, man. Like you, like, fuck this shit, man. Excuse my language. I got to those points so many times. Like, why am I sitting here recording a video that I'm not getting views on? Nobody's liking or sharing. You know, why am I doing all this? But then I kept saying, wait, but you know why you're doing all this? Because you change people's lives and it works. Mm-hmm. And you've proven it yourself and you're doing it every day. And then the question just became, how do I connect changing people's lives to promoting a business on social media? And then the academy met in the middle and it combined those two things together. So it's still evolving, man. And I think in a couple of years, it'll evolve even more. And the most important part of that journey is I ate shit for 3-4 years with no recognition, no follows, and no likes. And I kept on going. So I'm here to tell everybody listening, you might be in those shoes right now where you don't have the recognition. You don't have the financial capability to grow. But maybe if you just keep eating shit and adapting and changing, you're going to get it right once, at least once. And once you get that one time right, guess what happens? That's going to open up the door for another right time and another right time. And then you keep evolving through those tunnels of life till you eventually become the person that you want to be.
Thank you for sharing this, Ace. It's a good mentor of mine, Brian Bogart, always says there is no end destination, only constant evolution of self. And you being real enough to be like, I'm not where I'm going to be. I'm not where I need to be just yet. But this is what I'm doing to get where I'm going, and I'm documenting the process the entire way. My listeners know this. 2 years ago, I wasn't even close to who I am now. And then having conversations with people like you, it's only going to level me up, level me up, level me up. So you really, it seems like you really gain joy out of helping other people. Because a lot of people might ask, if you're a sales pro, if you're crushing it in sales, why not just go make a bunch of money doing sales? Why actually go and train and evolve other people? Tell me a little bit about what lights you up in the leadership of not just making money for Ace, but going in and going into companies and going into maybe just solo salespeople and evolving them. Like, why do you do that? Why does that light you up?
Yeah, so as a salesperson, the joy is you make a commission check, you buy yourself things, you enjoy those things, and then you start all over the next month, right? As a leader, you know, one time I helped change somebody's life, you know, I got a message about, hey, I was finally able to propose to my girl, you know, after many years, I was finally able to buy my parents a house. Hey, I was finally able to get an Xbox for my kids. When I started getting those kind of messages, I realized that really the most important thing to me was having a bigger impact and having those kind of stories, because it's one thing for me to change a couple people's lives one-on-one, but to change people's lives that are then going and changing other people's lives, the connection's much bigger. And I figured, what would I rather do and what would I rather die with? Would I rather die as a salesperson or would I rather die as a leader and consultant that's changed many people's lives, and those people change many people's lives, and those people change many people's lives? So it was kind of about the impact and the stories and the way I felt when I heard those stories. I felt like the more good karma you give in life, the more good karma you get back. You know, people that are negative or people that say bad luck, I feel like, you know, you kind of attract your own luck, right? So if you have bad luck, and you're not happy with where you are, well, what are you giving? Are you giving people bad luck? Or are you giving people more, right? And I think that connects as well. So the way I see it, the more people you help, the more life and God will help you, and good karma will connect to more good karma, and more things will come.
Powerful. I mean, you can change one person's life and they can go change 100. Now imagine if you change 10,000 people's lives and they go change 5, 10, 100, 50, 50,000, even from one conversation, right?
Yeah.
Walk me through. So there's mindset issues, there's maybe sales techniques, there's leadership skills. When someone comes to you needing help, and I know everyone's going to look different and everyone needs a different key, they're struggling in a different area a lot of the time. Is there commonalities though? Is there a commonality of someone who's like, Ace, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Maybe I have a gratitude journal. Maybe I have a vision board. Maybe I'm doing affirmations. But I jump on a sales call or I sit down face to face, I just clam up. Or I'm doing great on sales calls, but people aren't buying. Like they don't know what's happening. Is there any commonalities between the people that seem to have a blockage and they feel like they're doing the work, but they're not getting the results?
Yeah. So, I mean, for salespeople and for leaders, it's different, you know, because I do consulting for salespeople, then I do consulting for businesses. I'd say for businesses, the most common things that I find is consistency and a good process, right? A lot of them are lacking a process at all. And if they do have a process, they're inconsistent with it. So what do I mean? When somebody joins my academy, they get an email. Inside of that email, it welcomes them to the academy. It tells them what's available to them. And it gives them my calendar to schedule a one-on-one for free with me the first time to meet with them and personally welcome them. Okay. And then it has the weekly calls available and they get a gift package with the book, the planner, and whatever else they need, right? T-shirt, like that's a welcoming package. Then I meet with them and I introduce them to the academy. But do you know why I'm doing that? Because before I never had a welcome email for somebody or an onboarding process. People would come into the academy, they take a couple courses and they disappear.
Never show up again.
I had a high drop-off rate, right? Because they didn't know what was going on. The second I seen that as an issue, and as a leader out there, if you see you have issues in your business, right, you should try to address those black holes right away and fix them. So I addressed that black hole. I said, let's make it a little more welcoming. Onboarding email, gift package, one-on-one with me. I explained to them how it works. I make sure they come to the calls. They get the value. And now they're all consistently coming every single week. I have a bunch of students on every single weekly call. I fixed that problem. Now, a lot of leaders out there, they have a problem. People are quitting, right? They don't got high retention. Okay, well, what's your process for your onboarding? Well, they just come and I just tell them, go train this guy and they just go over there, you know? What's your process if someone's not doing well? Well, you know, we try to help them and talk to them. What's your actual process though? We just talk, that's not a process, right? It should be somebody's struggling. They meet with this person. After the next week, they meet with the VP. After the next week, they meet with the CEO. After the next week, they meet with a top performer for a week and they get trained. Like, if you want to make sure nobody leaves your organization, what's your process if somebody's struggling at your organization, you know? So it's things like this that I help them with. And I find a lot of businesses are lacking those processes. And if they do these processes, they feel like it's way too much on my plate. Mm-hmm. I got too much going on. Let me make it easy for you. What if I just told you every single day in the morning, I need a half an hour of your time to do 3 to 4 things every single day, and that'll automate all 5, 6 processes. So we make it easy for them. We automate it. We give them the templates. We give them the plays. We make the book for them. So that's what I notice in the business world is the processes are not there, or if they're there, they're not there consistently. Not everybody's executing on them the same. For salespeople, the number one thing I find is mindset. Mm. Mindset and preparation, right? If your life's not going good personally, your life's not going to be going good in business, right? So a lot of them, a lot of times have shit going on in their life. Parents are getting split up. They're having relationship issues. They're behind on bills, whatever it might be. If they take those problems with them to work, that's going to create more problems at work. But if they separate those problems from work and they say, I have a bunch of problems in my life. If I do better at work, these problems are going to get better. But if I do worse at work, these problems are going to get worse. Then they'll understand the only way for my problems to vanish or get better is for me to do better at work. So they start separating it, leaving the bullshit outside the door and focusing on what they need to do to grow in their life and do better. So I help them get past that gate. And once we get past that gate, the second thing I notice is the preparation. Like, think about the hardest test you've ever took in your life. Like, what's one of the hardest obstacles you ever had?
Man.
If you had to think to yourself.
SATs.
SATs.
It's a random,
right?
Random example. When I was in high school, I was robbed at gunpoint, and the person who robbed me was in the room at the SATs.
And come on.
Talk about mindset breakdown. I couldn't focus.
That's crazy.
So that's an unnecessary story, but talk about a mindset breakdown. I was shaking half the test, and I did terrible, to be real with you. I did real bad. And I couldn't focus. So that's
of course. Yeah, you should have called the cops, took him to jail, did you?
No.
You let him go?
I was selling marijuana. It wasn't legal at the time. It was about 2 years after the incident. And maybe I just didn't have the conviction to do it, but I just sort of took the mental beating and moved on.
So you didn't want to see any cops?
No.
Okay, so the SATs, you studied hard for the SATs, right?
I know you didn't ask me any of that, but there you go. Studied hard.
You studied hard for the SATs, right?
Yeah.
Prior to this happening, right? That was one of the hardest things you ever had to do, right?
Sure.
How many hours would you say you studied or put into preparing for the SATs?
I mean, let's be real. Based on the standards my parents gave me in the school system, that's 12 grades of your life. So that's what, like 17 years of your life?
17 years of your life. Now, let me ask you this. What are you doing now?
Professionally?
Yes.
It's nothing to do with what I went to school for, but I got a podcast. I have a marketing firm, and I help businesses.
Okay. If I took the same intensity and the same effort you put into the SATs, would you say that you're applying that same intensity, same focus to your marketing company now?
So I don't know where you're going with this. One thing that's interesting for me is I was dispassionate about all the things my parents told me I should do and the school I should go to and the grades I should get. So I was kind of detached. But now that I'm so in alignment with what I feel is my purpose, the intensity is 50x than what it was going in at that time.
Okay. So you don't have the problem that most salespeople have. The issue that most salespeople have is they don't put that kind of intensity into their sales job or their business or the role that they play. So then I ask them, why would you study so hard for the SATs when the SATs didn't get you jack shit, but now you have a job that you can make a lot of money with, change your life and accomplish your goals, and you haven't even studied a script. You haven't even woke up and wrote down your goals. You don't even know what you want. You don't have a number for what you want at the end of the month. What kind of preparation are you putting into this? You know, because if you want to be successful, show me how you want to be successful. If you want to win, how do you want to win? How much do you want? How are you going to do it? Are you practicing your script every morning? Are you repping things out? Are you reaching out to the best performers? And you'll find a lot of times they're like 10% of the shit on the list is what they're doing. Okay. The first thing we got to do is move that up to 90%. So getting them prepared and making sure their mind is right is mostly the biggest thing. Making them confident and breaking out of their comfort zone. A lot of them, you know, they're so tense. Don't be tense. Use your personality. Pretend you're at a bar talking to me. How do you talk? Every single human is unique for a special reason. Figure out why you're unique and then show that to people. When you do an interview with somebody, why do they hire you? Because you have a certain uniqueness inside of you that people appreciate. Whatever that uniqueness is, you got to drive it home. That's what's going to make you special in business. That's what's going to make you special in a relationship. That's what's going to make you special in your family. Find out what it is that makes you unique and show that a lot more. Be more comfortable. Be yourself, because yourself is what everybody needs, because there's only one version of yourself, and that is you, my friend.
Amen to that. Let me ask this, Ace, because obviously you have plenty of conviction. You had your back against the wall. Your story in itself makes you unique. But when you think about yourself, what makes you different than all the other sales trainers out there? What is unique about Ace that just makes you who you are?
Honestly, a couple of things that I believe make me unique. Number one is a lot of people out there that train or coach people tell you the way it's supposed to be done and they disappear. For me, I kind of show you the why. So I show you the way it's supposed to be done. Then I tell you the why behind why that's important to get it done that way. But then I tell you to use your own personality and flavor. So I help you create it in your own way, because that's the only way you're going to execute on it. You can't talk like me. I can't talk like you. But you could use your personality to put your own swag on it. I could use my personality to put my own swag on it. Now it's your play. It's Ben's play. It's not mine anymore, because you took my play and you kind of twisted it a little to what works for you. Then I give you a one pager to fill it out on. I give you a script. I give you a template. So now I make it easy for you to do. And then I practice it, make sure that you've memorized it and you're good at doing it. Then we take off the blindfold and let you do it on your own. Then I go a step higher, go to your leader, say, hey, this is what they're doing. Here's how you hold them accountable to it. Here's how you draw a contest to it. Here's how you give an award for it. Here's how you make it a stamp in your business so that everybody that comes is going to do it the same exact way. And we build the uniformity across the board. So like that's like one example. It's a lot more than just giving you a sales tip. It's engraving a sales tip in your mind, using your own personality to create it, and making sure the leadership in the company and the culture stands behind it all the way and makes it automated and part of their traditions and part of their business as well.
So it's kind of like a dance. Let's just use salsa. Not everybody's going to look exactly the same way doing those moves. If we all looked robotic, there'd be no artistry.
Exactly.
If our sales sound robotic and they're not personalized with our clothing, our personality, our style, our swag, like in a dance, we're going to sound like a robot.
Yes.
Let me grab my pencil. And in a second, we're going to go to the rapid fire round. But I first want to ask you real quick. I want to get a quick win as soon as I hang up this call. I encourage people to even pause this, take notes, and implement right now or as soon as we're done. What is the first thing I should do to start creating my own playbook? And then obviously, I'm going to want to go to you for additional help. But if, is there a quick win that as a salesperson or a business leader, I could write down and start building that playbook today?
Yeah. The first thing you want to do is you want to actually create a playbook or a script, right? So a lot of people just go with the flow. But if you actually create something that you're comfortable doing right now, and you kind of use that same exact script or play every single time, it's a lot more effective. For example, if you crack a tree 1,000 times in 1,000 different places, it's hard to drop the tree. But if I crack that tree 1,000 times in the same exact place, that tree is going to eventually timber, right? So the first thing I'll tell people to do is write down what makes somebody successful in your industry or in your job, passion, in your sport, in your schooling, whatever it is. What's the most successful person doing? What makes them successful? And then how could you implement that into your business or into your style in your own way? And write out those things. And could you do those things consistently? That would be the first thing. Find the most successful person doing it. Implement what they're doing. You know?
How do you feel about, so you can literally take their template, do it exactly, and then once you get started, once you get results with their template, then I can rewrite the playbook for me?
Correct.
I feel, I found in the past, one thing I did is I would take the template and I'd cross out things that I didn't like, and I'd add things that I learned in some separate training would work, and then it would be muddied and multicolor and not actually following like a direct path. That's an issue I ran into later in life. So follow the playbook, master the playbook, and then rewrite it?
Correct.
How do I know what playbook to follow? Let's say I'm in a company and there's 20 people that are all successful. There's 100 people in President's Club. There's going to be different styles for different people, right?
Yeah, great question. So a great salesperson or a great successful person takes a little bit from everybody, right? You see, somebody that's ignorant or that has stopped learning, they say a master always remains a student. Somebody that's no longer learning or closed off, they don't take anything of value. So they might be a conversation being had and they block the whole conversation out. Or they say, oh, this person's not smarter than me, I'm not going to listen. But if you're actually smart and you want to learn and grow and you understand the way it works, and you say, this person, I may not think this person's smarter than me, but at the same time, I may learn something from this person. What could I learn from this person today? How could I soak value out of this 5-minute conversation? Instead of saying F this 5-minute conversation, what's one thing I could take from this conversation that I could actually grow? Even if that means him. So it seems like this person thinks like this. He thinks because his dad left when he was young, that's the reason his life is miserable and he's not successful. Maybe other people that had adversity happen to them when they're young think like this. Instead of not listening to this person and thinking he's not smart, why don't I figure out why he thinks like this and how I can help change him? Because maybe I could change more people that think like him, right? So you go to all 20 people and then you take a little bit from every single person, and all of that becomes, with your personality and your flavor, it becomes your own script and your own flavor. And then obviously there's trial and error. You're going to fall on your face. You're going to figure it out. You could speed up, come to the academy, and I'll help you build your own script within the first week. We could do it that way as well, you know? And I'd love to help. And I mean, we've never ever failed anybody. So, I mean, I guarantee you we could help you with that. That's what we do there. But yeah, I'd say go to the most successful people, take a little bit from everybody, and make your own script.
Dude, I appreciate that you're here to help. That's exactly, Ace, that's exactly what I'm doing with this podcast.
Yeah.
I haven't agreed with every single one of my guests, but I've learned 101 things from each of them. And the listener doesn't have to agree with every single guest, but if just 1 to 5 to 10 nuggets of wisdom from here today, they go and implement it, and they 10x their life, and they help 10 people, and they become better, yeah, soak in what works best for you. So the listeners want to help you. 5 years down the road, we're going to hit 1 billion listens. We're not quite at 1 billion listens
yet. That's awesome, man.
We're not at 1 billion yet. We are in the top 2.5% globally.
That's awesome.
But people are going to be listening to this 5 years from now, and we're going to be at 1 billion by then. The people today especially want to help you. The people by then, they probably by then you're going to be huge, so it'll be easy. They probably already know about you. You're actually probably bringing people to the podcast down the road. You're going to be bringing people here. Ace did this interview 5 years ago. This guy's a big shot. But I'm all over the place. The question is, how can we help you today? Where can we support you? Get in touch. Send us to a spot where we can lend our support.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to my Instagram, the official Aces Academy, I have a link tree there. I mean, I try to be everywhere, omnipresent. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Playlist, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, acesacademy.com. Anywhere you go where you could find value, shoot us a follow, shoot us a share, subscribe. Reach out if you have any questions. I mean, at the end of the day, we're doing this for you guys. So our mission statement is help you become the best version of yourself through becoming the best version of myself. And then we raise that version daily together, you know. Hit that best version and raise that best version. Hit that best version and raise that best version. Get a little bit better every single day. And you will have no regrets, because every single day you're looking to improve instead of looking to stay stagnant.
I like that. So if I'm improving, I'm becoming my best self. Yeah. I'm surrounding myself with a community of people that are doing the same thing. And then whether it's through osmosis, accountability, competition, everybody gets better in the long run, right? Everybody gets better.
I say, show me your TikTok for you page and I'll show you your life.
Oh, God. You don't want most people to show that.
Yeah.
TikTok is a
which is fine. Look, entertainment is fun. And, you know, like I watch stuff that I laugh on TikTok a lot of times. My For You page is not all, you know, motivational, educational, but it's 60-70%, right? So it's okay to have entertainment and have fun. But at the same time, look for the growth, seek the growth, find the growth, grasp the growth. The growth is not going to find you. You got to find the growth. You got to seek the growth, right? The hunter doesn't have a deer fall in their arms. That deer, the hunter looks for the deer. Look for the growth.
The growth ain't coming to find me to land in my lap.
Exactly.
We're going to go rapid fire. These are short, sweet, fill in the blank, say what you want, click pass, doesn't matter. I like to start with coffee or tea.
Coffee.
What is one thing that lights you up? You're like not doing business anymore and you're just out having a good time for you and or your family. What do you like to do for fun?
for fun? Man, give me a good travel. You know, I love traveling. Give me a good destination to go to. Every time I travel, I come back more inspired.
Inspiration, man.
So traveling is fuel.
Do you have a mentor, a superhero? Who do you look up to, Ace?
Yeah, I have a lot of mentors and superheroes, and I learned a lot from a lot of people. My first mentor and superhero was Tony Robbins. You know, he really showed me the power of the mind, the power of rituals, the power of your thought process. He taught me how humans act based off pleasure or pain and how to use that pleasure or pain to take you even farther in life. So I'd say Tony Robbins was a part of this journey for me, and he got me into self-development.
Love it. Fast forward to today, August, September 2022. What are you learning right now? What's lighting you up? What are you personally working on still?
Right now, I am personally working on automating. You know, I'm getting busy myself, and what I'm working on is automating my process. So if somebody pays me, you know, to do a meeting with them to teach them how to build a relationship or to teach them how to do a company meeting, instead of just doing that meeting for them, I'm doing that meeting for them. Then I'm saying, maybe more people need this. So then I'm recording a video of how to run a meeting, and I'm making a template for it, and I'm uploading it to the academy because I don't want anybody else to pay me to learn that. If I already taught it one time, I want to put it out there for everybody to learn. So I'm trying to save myself time, even though the financially savvy way or the greedy way would be, no, pay me and I'll keep teaching it. No, I don't want you to pay me. If I have to teach it one time, I want it to be the last time. So anything that anybody wants to learn, I put it in a how-to video, how-to template, and I blast it to my community. So I'm sharing the wealth and I'm automating my process. So for everybody listening, what are some things that you repeatedly do every so often that suck up your time? And how could you automate those things so you don't have to do them no longer?
And even if it puts less money in your pocket, you get to impact more people.
Correct.
Love it.
You see, it's not about the money anymore. It's about the journey now. We
It's
already
about the
know what
journey.
we already know it works. The intentions are pure, the heart is gold, you know. We have a good soul, good human, good karma. We already know it's there. People are changing their lives through the academy. So I don't got to worry about money. Money comes, you know, money follows everything else. As long as you're doing good and you know that you provide value, everything else will follow. And you know, I'm proof of that.
That's what I call deserving what you want, Ace. Deserving what
Exactly.
you want. We'll do
Yes.
one last question. I want to kind of just give a little a bite for the listener. So you've got 10 keys for sales success in your book. What's one key that maybe we didn't touch on today? What's like one sneak peek key to success that maybe we didn't tackle yet today?
Yeah, our one key I'll give you is open doors. Okay. Open door is somewhere that you could dig deep, be curious, and learn more about somebody, right? So if you're ever talking to somebody and they say something like, "Yeah, I got to get the kid to daycare. It's been hard to watch them," right? That might be an open door where I say, "Wow, what's stopping you from getting the kid to daycare?" Well, things are a little tight right now, you know, and I'm just trying to keep up with the bills. Okay. And why are things so tight right now? Well, and then like, well, and I keep asking questions. And then one door opens up another door that opens up another door that opens up another door. And I call it open doors. And it's just about being extremely curious, not only in sales, but in life. You're on a date with somebody. Like if somebody, I'm on a date with somebody and they say like, "Yeah, my last relationship was just horrific. I mean, I never want to think about that again, you know?" And I just say, "Great, this one won't be like that." Like, you know, I'm not probably not listening actively, right? But if I say, "Wow, what was so horrific about it so I can make sure that you never have to experience that again?" And that opens up a door. And then, well, with me, I never do those kind of things because here's something that happened to me. And then I share a story and that opens up another door. So even to have good conversation, just being curious and opening up doors, that's one of the chapters in the book. And it just talks about how you'll find a lot of times because you're curious and open up doors, you learn about 70% more about that person just through the one interaction compared to not listening and just waving past what they say. So open up doors and be very curious in life, because the more you open, the more you learn. One door opens up the next door. And that's the same thing for your life. It relates to your life as well. This podcast, me and you did right here, this is a door. We might connect next week again. We might talk about a business plan. That's another door. That might lead to something else. That's another door. So like this interaction leads to more things. So every single interaction could lead to another interaction. Be a sponge. Just suck out the most value you could in life. Be curious.
And that's why I encourage people to share this podcast, DM it to someone, give them three pieces of value you learn from it. I know I already have a couple people I want to introduce you to. Start opening doors for other people. And I love the concept of opening doors and finding doors that you never knew existed. I could be at a bar talking to the bartender and say, hey, why are you working here? Why do you like working here? And they might say, you know, I'm actually trying to start my yoga studio, but I'm having trouble getting it off the ground. Well, little did either of us know, I've got a marketing business and I can help that bartender explode their yoga studio. You don't know unless you open that door though, right?
Exactly.
All right, I'm going to let you go, brother. Anything else we didn't touch on that you'd like to bring up?
No, man. Thank you for having me. It's been great. I'll make sure that we'll share this podcast with everybody you got out there, and I'll share it with everybody I got. And if you need anything, hit me up, man. It's been great talking to you. You're a great guy, and thank you for inspiring the world with this podcast and just spreading the value, because that's very important that you're spreading good across the world and you're helping people gain more value. And because of that, the world will give you back some value in your business and in your life, and good things will come to you. So I truly believe that.
I do too. Thank Ace, brother. Everything you just said, reciprocated, man. It's been such a life of the party, man, to have you here today, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.